If you have your Bibles with you today or the Pew Bible in front of you, I always encourage you to bring your Bible with you. Today we are looking at the last verses of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We've been thinking about some of these teachings over the last month, in the month of June. And today, at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, we read these words as Matthew records them. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of their scribes. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds today to what you want to say to us, what we will do with the scripture lesson that is before us, how we will live it out. I pray, Lord, a strong, strong blessing upon this scripture, upon the hearing of it, the reading of it, and the understanding of it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've never built a house. I came close when we moved to Springdale a few years ago. We made an offer and it was accepted on a house that had just been built. I mean, it was almost ready for us. We asked the builder for four things. We wanted a fence so our little dachshunds wouldn't run amok, right? We wanted a refrigerator for the kitchen. We wanted blinds for the windows, and we wanted better floors. And the builder said, yes, 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 no. But that's okay. The walls were gray. The trim was white. The house plan was called Kingston. It had a large kitchen, and it was a lovely house. And it would be ready for us when we moved to Springdale in January of 2023. So no, I've never built a house. I have, however, been the pastor at two churches that had big building projects. Are y'all with me? I want to be clear here. I don't want to get into another building project. I think we have all the space we need. If building a house is a challenge, building a church is a double challenge for sure. When I was right out of seminary serving the Harmony Grove United Methodist Church down near Camden, they had been talking for some time about adding on. So we did that. We added a fellowship hall, a kitchen, bathrooms, a nursery, and about three classrooms. We borrowed, are you ready for this number? $115,000. $115,000, which in 1995 was, for them, a lot of money. I remember going to First Methodist Little Rock after that appointment, and in a trustees meeting, they spent that same amount of money in a trustees meeting. The second church I had a chance to be a part of a building project was over in Paragould just a few years ago. We added a new worship center, a welcome area, a fellowship hall, a kitchen and classrooms. We made the former fellowship hall into a two-story education building, kids downstairs, youth upstairs. Two sets of bathrooms. And there was a shower in two of those bathrooms. My hope, my vision, was that one day visiting church groups would stay at that facility and that they would be able to shower and feel at home there. Just this past week, are you familiar with the Ozark Mission Project? Have you heard of that? OMP stayed at First United Methodist Church Paragould. They used those showers, and they used that facility. I was glad to see it. Most of the decisions fell to me and to the chair of the building committee and one other guy. I decided early on that I was going to take pictures. And I think that's smart, because if you take pictures, you know where the plumbing is. You know where the electrical comes in. You know how it drains and all that sort of thing. And then here's the connection to the sermon today. I took pictures as the foundation was being prepared. I can't tell you how many dump trucks full of red dirt that they laid out there. And I'll show you the pictures. I have them. They started pouring the concrete at 4:30 one morning. Our neighbors were not happy. I had never seen a concrete slab that big. But it was a well-built foundation. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. This morning we're finishing up a four-week sermon series where we've looked at passages from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a block of teaching, really, that we have come to know. We've talked about the Beatitudes. We've talked about salt and light. Last week, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. We called this sermon series Summer on the Mount, which is really inaccurate because it's just 4 weeks. But anyway, Jesus leaves no stone unturned, no subject untouched in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to some of these passages. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world, he writes. He preaches. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Love your enemies. If someone hits you on the cheek, turn and give them your other cheek. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Seek first the kingdom of God. How about this one for you worriers out there? I'm speaking to myself. Do not worry about tomorrow, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Jesus preaches, do not judge, lest you be judged. No one can serve two masters. Do to others as you would have them do it unto you. Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to life. To destruction. By their fruit, you will be recognized. Wow! What a sermon. How do you end a sermon like that? I'll have to tell you, when I'm getting ready to preach for you all, I sometimes have a struggle on how to end a sermon. I sometimes have a struggle on how to begin a sermon. And sometimes I have a struggle at the middle of it, too. George, the great theologian George Burns, y'all have heard that name, right? He says the secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and to have the two as close together as possible. My mom once said, John, no one ever complains about a short sermon. And she's right. She's right. But this is Jesus' sermon. It's up to him to decide how to close it out. And so he punctuates it, like I do sometimes, with a story. But before he does, he says, you can't just listen to these words and nod your head and say amen and go on about your life as if you have never heard them at all. You're supposed to live out these teachings. In other words, do your best to follow these instructions, the ones, some of them I've just read for you. And if you do that, you're like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, this seems simple to me. You build a house on a rock, or you build a house on a sand bed, which makes more sense? I've never built a house. You heard me say that, right? I know some in the congregation have done that, maybe even done that for a living. It seems that a house in Jesus' day was more complicated than that. The sand bed looked like a slab of concrete. It was hard and strong, a riverbed, if you will, that that dried in the summer heat and left behind a smooth surface ready for construction. It didn't happen every year, but every few years it did. The rains fell and the sand gave way, kind of like building a castle at the beach, and it wiped it away. Besides that, if you were to build a house on a rock, you had to grade the slope. You had to carry the supplies up the hill. Home Depot wasn't around. Ridout wasn't around. Ace Hardware hadn't been founded. No, you had to carry all that up there. And when the house was finished, you had to carry the water up there. So it was easier to build a house on the sand, more convenient. Are y'all with me today? But I'm not just talking about a house. I'm talking about your life. That's what Jesus is talking about too. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock, brick by brick, choice by choice, action by action, teaching after teaching, sermon after sermon, song after song. We are building a firm foundation. So it doesn't matter when the storms come. It doesn't matter when the wind blows. It doesn't matter that sometimes things are that way, because your foundation is strong. Are y'all with me today? Yeah. A few years ago, when I was living in Paragould, I heard a radio spot by the pastor of First Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Bruce Venable. And I asked permission to share that years ago, and he said, anytime you want to, feel free. He sent me his notes. It's the renovation story. Have you ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It's a renovation story, a monument that was 800 years old. Bruce says that in 2001, after being closed for almost 12 years, the landmark, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, was open again to the public. For 12 years, engineers completed a $27 million renovation project that was designed to stabilize the Leaning Tower of Pisa and would keep it upright, although leaning, for another 200 years. They brought in, get this, 110 tons of dirt, and they corrected the tilt by 16 inches. That's it, 16 inches, but it gave it another 200 years. If they didn't do that, they feared, the Leaning Tower of Pisa would fall over. What was the problem? Was it a bad design? No, it was a good design. What's the problem? Was it poor workmanship 800 years ago? No, that wasn't the problem either. The problem was what was underneath. There was sandy soil in the city of Pisa, and it was not intended for an 800-year-old monument of that size to last. The tower, it seems, didn't have a firm foundation. Amen? We need that. The Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy one day. Timothy was discouraged, and he says, I want to remind you of your faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is inside you. I'd like to remind you of your faith, church. It's a good reminder. Brick after brick, teaching after teaching, sermon after sermon, song after song, anthem after anthem, encouraging word after encouraging word, lessons by those that we trust. Our foundation must be strong. So, when the rains come and the winds blow, did any of you watch it rain yesterday? I was sitting on the front porch when that storm came through and saw my daughter's car under this tree, and I thought, God, please let that tree stand. It was blowing and going. It has nothing to do with the sermon. But anyway, the rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on the house that was on the rock, and it did not fall because it had a firm foundation. Friends, may we have that firm foundation for our souls. It won't take dirt or bulldozers or concrete. It'll take the very word of God.